This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. And by Hostpapa. Hostpapa's powerful web hosting solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small businesses like yours. Go to hostpapa.com/morning today and get our exclusive promo code MORNING to save 15% off their popular web-hosted packages. That's hostpapa.com/morning. This is how the sausage is made. Enjoy your sausage. Coming up on TMS, the Boar Olympics are here.
This guy really doth protest too much.
At least one more. Tesla autopilot saved a guy.
Snoop and Martha together at last.
F off, Dad.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and cracked voice and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm not on Facebook.
What? Why not?
Because I hate Facebook.
When your hair is flat and you don't know what to do, Quantum Hair Gel is the only thing for you.
The Morning Stream.
All the ladies love velour.
Supposed to say this is the morning stream at the end, but
you didn't, did he?
No,
yeah, just
that was rare.
Sweet talked us a little bit.
Yep, that was a rare. Oh, I gotta tell you a story about a rare Pokemon. Hi, everybody. It's TMS. For the August the 8th, it's Monday. It's what's going on? How's everybody? It's Brian and me. Okay, I got to tell you this story. You want to hear this?
Tell me. Hello.
We're getting right to it. We're getting right to it. So I went to the sushi place again with Kim over the weekend. We haven't seen much of each other all last week. Very busy week. Mm-hmm. Weekend was nuts. So finally at the end of Saturday, we had a little time together. So we decided to go Bluefish, get some sushi, sit outside. It had rained that day, so it was just so nice after. Like, not hot even. It was great. And we're out there, and we're sitting there. And Kim goes, oh, what's this on her phone? I said, what? She goes, well, hang on. Let me try to get it first. Four attempts, misses it. Fifth attempt, captures it. Shows me this Pokemon. I don't even know what it was. I can't even tell you the name. It looked like a dude in like an Orko dress or something. It's like a Pokemon I've never seen.
In an Orko dress. Yeah, probably Jinx.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was like 600-something CP. I've never seen one. The kids have never seen one. They're nowhere around here. And Kim captures it. Now, that's not the point of the thing. The point of the thing is she captures it. She gets it. We go home. We're chilling. And somebody says, Mom, you need to go. Or Nick says, Mom, you need to go get turn in some of your stuff and get some candy and you can upgrade some of your dudes. So she goes in there to do that and looks at her character and goes, wait a minute. That's not the color scheme I had for my character. And she looks down at the bottom and says, Carter Elaine Johnson.
Oh,
and she's like, wait a minute.
Was she logged into Carter's account on her phone?
Yeah, so she captured that super rare one. She was like, this. It's the only time I've ever seen my wife ticked about a virtual thing. But it was also that she was logged in, and we have no explanation for this because Carter did not use her phone or log into it or have anything to do with it. So now we're kind of weirded out because we don't know how this happened.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's some kind of weird account thing.
It was a Google, right? You guys are using the Google, not like a specific Pokemon trainer account?
Correct, and I don't know if there's a way outside of this to tweak that or to have it be confused about what person is logged in and when.
Mm.
Like, real weird, man.
We will answer your question and many more on the Pokemon Go podcast at PokemonGoPodcast.com.
Is this actually a thing? Is it a known deal?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Ooh.
Possibly.
Do some research because I want to know.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, there are some applications that'll automatically log you into your Google account.
Yeah.
Like, basically, you allow them once, and then they'll always do it.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, they screwed up. I know when they first did this, where they,
yeah,
they
well, they, and then they had access to your emails and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some sort of, but Carter's never logged in on Google on Kim's phone.
No, and neither has Nick, as far as I know. And it's one thing to, like, you know, sometimes you have weird stuff like, oh, you're using the same iCloud account as somebody else because iCloud's stupid and it, you know, crosses the streams.
Yeah,
and
get that all the time. Yeah. And for a while, we were getting everybody's texts were appearing on everybody else's phones.
Yeah, super annoying and lame. Yeah. However, this doesn't appear to be that, obviously, because it's an outside connection. Also, there was a while yesterday where all the accounts weren't working and said they were bad accounts. Niantic would say these accounts are bad. You need to re sign up with a new account or something. So like it was all, and I told everybody, put Pokemon down for, we're not touching this freaking nightmare. And part of it's probably because I'm paranoid because I'm watching Mr. Robot right now and I'm a little paranoid.
Season one or season two?
Season one. I just got started.
You're just getting started. Yeah. Okay, good.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's freaking great. Like
now do you understand my reference last week when we were talking to the guy that works electrical over at Coney Island and I'm saying that there's a secret hacker society that...
F Society, man.
Yep, operates out of a skee ball arcade.
Yep. It's so good. Like, chat room was rumbling earlier that I was going to drop some spoiler. I'm really not. Here's what I'll say, though. I am so surprised at how much the hype for this matched and exceeded my expectations. Mm-hmm. I had no idea this was going to be this good. Like, mm-hmm. It's really good. And what's going on at the USA Network? What? Aren't you up right. all night with Gilbert Gottfried? Isn't that what you do normally? What is this? What is this fine piece of television? Perhaps the best show on TV right now. How is this eking out of your weirdo network over there?
It feels so accidental. It totally does.
It does. It feels like Mad Men on AMC before AMC became respected as an original content network. It feels like that. I remember turning on AMC when the first Mad Men came on, and I went, what is this doing here?
Right.
This is supposed to be like The Sound of Music.
This is an American movie classic?
Yeah, this is supposed to be The Sound of Music marathon on a Saturday.
Right, like, Jimmy Stewart five times a day,
yeah,
guaranteed.
Yeah, what are you doing? And now, you know, they're synonymous with quality television and Breaking Bad and Walking Dead and a million other things.
They're synonymous with not showing any classic movies.
That's right. They don't show any classic movies anymore. It's just a pretty funny switch. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm really into it, and it's really great, and Pokemon Go made me think we're being hacked by some secret organization.
By the way, I had some fun with Pokemon Go over the weekend myself. Obviously, did the bike ride and did that whole business, and actually got an Onix, which is like a big old rock worm, along my my regular bike path. But Saturday night, Tina and I decided we were going to go on a date, and we decided we would take the light rail into downtown Denver. And then go to a bar, restaurant, walk around, watch some Olympics on TV down there, and basically just, you know, have some fun downtown.
That sounds all right.
Yeah. And so on the light rail, apparently every station is a Pokestop. Some of them are even have two Pokestops on them because they all have these cool art installations in them.
Okay.
And so what we would do is... what I would do, because Tina's not playing, is I'd have the game open, and I'd be ahead of the game by clicking on the Pokestop when it says, all right, this Pokestop is too far away.
Yeah.
And what you do is you just wait and wait and wait. And the second, because if you're going through the station, if it's not a station stop for the light rail, you'll just zip right through. And if you try and tap on that thing when it goes to show you that it's available, you're going to be too late by the time you can spin the little doodad to get your Pokeballs and your revives and stuff.
Right.
So I'd actually click on the station or the Pokestop first, and then as soon as it becomes available, spin like crazy and then get the things out of it. And again, by the time you get one spin out of that thing, you're out of range.
I'm sure this didn't make you look like a weirdo on the train.
Not one bit. No. There were so many people downtown playing. You know, for all the complaints that it's getting on the iOS store and on the Android store and online, it doesn't seem like that's translating to fewer people playing it. There were so many people playing it downtown.
Oh yeah, there's problems with that freaking thing. It's got all kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. Niantic's been kind of bad at communicating. Like, right. There's problems, for
taking
sure, as you know.
Out that used to work and breaking other things that worked for other people. And
yeah, and as a guy who's doing some content now on the world of Pokemon Go, you know as well as anybody, that stuff will probably iron itself out. But whatever, one-star reviews are not going to stop billions of people, well, millions of people from playing it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not playing all that seriously, but when I'm out somewhere, I'm like, well, let's see what's going on around here. Like, that's... Sure. That's the weird thing about it. You can play it very casually like that.
Totally. Yeah. And it's not like you feel like you're going to be, I'm going to be so far behind in this game, in this content, because I'm not going outside every day or going out late at night every night to go out and get these things. Like, I'm on a bike ride. Oh, let's play Pokemon. Or I'm going downtown. Let's play a little Pokemon.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. Let's
go right now. So hopefully they do introduce some new content soon, though, because It is feeling a little stagnant.
A little stagnant, a little broken still in a lot of ways. A lot of bugs. They're spending too much time shutting down third-party sites. Here's what you do, guys. Hey, I got an idea. Instead of shutting down some third-party map thing, how about you make a better one of your own?
Right. How about you fix your own business and then shut the other one down once yours is good, instead of saying, oh, we're adding this in a future release, and by the way, until then, we're still killing this.
Yeah. I don't want to freak anybody out, but the way you usually stave off this sort of thing is to make a better thing that they're ripping off.
Right. Right.
So get on that, guys.
Anyway.
So I got to tell you a great headline. You want to hear this headline?
Yeah. Let's hear the headline.
It made me laugh, so I just want to share it with you. Okay. Rebecca Watson on Twitter posted this, and I had to share it. She's a science enthusiast, writer, performer, video game player, and strange animal petter.
Oh, okay.
Says on her thing.
I think that's not, that last thing sounds like could be dangerous, but okay.
Yep. She says this, breaking news, presidential elections called off, this lady elected president by unanimous decision, and then there's a quote. Quote is a headline. Furious mother squirted her boob at a woman who told her to move while she was breastfeeding because it was distracting her husband.
Honest, squirted her boob at a woman.
They had me at squirted her boob. Isn't that great? That is a great headline.
That is great. Like, it's like this weapon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Shoom, yeah. Right in the eye.
Pew, pew. It is a Daily Mail article, so that may not shock anyone, but I love that.
I'm sure that was less distracting than just the breastfeeding.
It must have been, right? all right, real quick. Are you watching any of the...
Han squirted first.
Han always squirted first. Ugh. Sounds awful. So you're watching some of the Olympics?
We are watching the Olympics. Mm. We're loving it. Tina and I are Olympic fans. Tina more than me, but not much more than me. Like, we watch the entirety of the opening ceremonies at my Uncle George's house, sat on the couch with them, ordered a couple pizzas, and watched the entirety of the opening ceremonies, which were really cool. Even the Al Gore bit about the rainforest depleting and the polar ice caps melting.
All that stuff. I haven't seen any of it.
I kind of prefer to have my politics out of my Olympics. I like the two separate. You know, it's sure. Like, all right, it's all these countries coming together and there's no... You know, they're settling their differences in a friendly way on the Olympic stage, and regardless of who wins, there's hugging afterwards and high-fiving. And
but how does that work? Does he call the Rio Olympic team and go, yes, I was wondering if I could come on and do my shtick?
Well, it wasn't really Al Gore. It was just a section of the opening ceremonies where they interrupted from the people running around on the really cool projection stage. That's kind of like what Katy Perry did at the Super Bowl with like the
two
platform
sharks
looking like it's breaking away and stuff. No,
not with the two sharks.
There were no left shark, right sharks at the Rio opening ceremonies.
Damn it.
But then they went into this and the polar ice caps are melting. And then here's time-lapse footage of the polar ice caps. And here's the rainforests receding and stuff like that, which is sad. I mean, definitely something we need to be aware of. But,
sure. But it's not gonna. It's not
you
gonna.
Almost feel like. Yeah. Well, we've got them. We've got a captive audience. let's hit them with this.
So all the talk has been about how NBC's coverage is terrible. Is that not true?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's really good. And when you've got PlayStation View, PlayStation View. Which we do as cord cutters, you get some of the other stations that NBC owns that it's showing content on. They're showing Olympic content on Bravo, for Pete's sake. They're breaking from Real Housewives of the Seventh Circle of Hell and putting on actual Olympic content, which is great.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, what I've been hearing is that they're just really bad at this. Like, it's like the opening ceremonies just sounds bad. I mean, maybe it just sounds like it's always sounded. Is it still, what's his name?
It sounds like it's always sounded. I mean, you got your Bob Costas, and he's, you know, talking in between each sport, each presentation.
Are they making derogatory, they're not making derogatory comments. Like the last Olympics, they were in trouble because they kept making, like, they'd see some team from some small island country come out in, like, togas or something. Some traditional local dress or whatever, and he would go, that's pretty funny. I remember having some parties like that in college.
Really?
Yeah. Like, none of that's going on?
There wasn't any of that except, all right, so you got your Matt Lauer, your Hoda Kotb, and your Meredith Vieira, who are doing the narration during the second part of the opening ceremonies, which is when all the countries come out, right? And you've got your, you know, here's the Macedonian contingent, and they've got three Olympic players, and here's a little map that shows you where Macedonia is and stuff. And it feels so much like Macy's Day Parade, Thanksgiving morning. Every float has to be commented on in some weird wink, wink, here's a pun kind of way. Like, and now we have the athletes from Djibouti. So now it's the opportune time for me to say, check out Djibouti.
Yeah.
Actual witty repartee.
Hold on, that actually happened?
Meredith Rivera.
Oh, that's amazing. She said, check out Djibouti.
Check out Djibouti.
I'm kind of not sad I missed any of it. I mean, look, I'm not. I don't want to poo-poo on it. I think there's a lot to like about the Olympics. It's just an unplugger, and I don't really have a good antenna right now. I don't know. I can't be bothered.
It's so easy to get hooked on, though. And you're watching it. You don't know any of these players except there's a couple, the gymnasts and stuff, who've gotten a lot of attention. Gabby Douglas is back. I think the most exciting thing watching yesterday was the cycling, because it, for the USA, it really came down to the last half a kilometer of the cycle race. And this USA cyclist, this woman, was 16, 17 seconds ahead of this pack of three other cyclists who were all drafting behind each other and probably saving their energy for this last push.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last kilometer, they just zipped right past her. And all three of them crossed the finish line before she did. And she spent 90% of the race in the lead with a big sizable lead and didn't even finish in the medal count. And it was just so heartbreaking.
Oh,
so,
man, that's hard.
So exciting to watch. But
so, all right. I like that stuff too. It's competition.
Give it a shot. Here's what you do. Pick a,
get an antenna.
Go to NBCOlympics.com. It's a website.
All right. Yeah.
Pick a sport you like.
Okay.
And then look at when they're going to be airing the video for that. And then just watch it. There's trampolining, for Pete's sake. There's ping pong. There's something for everybody.
All right. I like ping pong. Here's a headline from Vanity Fair. It says, is NBC's Olympics coverage sexist? A strategy of targeting female readers with soft-focused stories is drawing fire for being condescending.
Oh, no. Really? Are they doing like the Vaseline on the lens kind of Cybill Shepherd action on some of the female competitors?
Probably a little bit. There's a bunch of talk about that. Let's see. I guess, what's his name? John Oliver went off on him yesterday.
I hate when it's like, look at this strong male competitor. He's going to be dynamic out on the field today. And then it's the next showcasing of a female athlete. And it's like the soft focus. Bling, bling, yep. Bling, 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 bling. Isn't it cute? She does sports.
She's adorable. Michael Phelps earned a 23rd career Olympic medal with the 4x100 meter deal. Now, here's what I want to say about him. The big talk wasn't that he won the damn thing. It's that on his shoulders and back, he had a bunch of circular bruises, purple bruises, right. And they were too symmetrical to be normal, and everybody was freaking out. Is he an alien? Is he some sort of experiment?
Geez,
is this some kind of cheating trick? No, he's doing that stupid suction.
The cupping, yeah.
Yeah, the cupping thing, which sounds gross, by the way. I don't mean the actual act of it. I mean the sound of somebody saying, oh, I've been cupping all weekend. Sounds terrible.
No, I'd like to get cupped every once
in
a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, I just want to get a good cupping.
Gently, you know, gently cupped.
I guess he claims it works, whatever. It's some holistic sucker. You basically give yourself a bunch of hickeys.
Right.
For on purpose with, like, circular hickey givers. That's what they call them, the technical term.
That's exactly what they're called, circular hickey givers.
All right, we are finally going to announce tomorrow the details of this fall TMS Film Festival. 30-second mm-hmm. film festival. We've done one. We did one back in 2011, and then somehow it got away from us, and we haven't done one since.
It's funny, yeah, because it was such a popular thing, and, you know, should it just be election-related?
Maybe that would be fun. Like, you know what? They should be campaign ads, but not... like, just, I hate Hillary, I hate Trump ads. I don't mean that.
Right.
I mean, you guys need to... Okay, I got it. Look, we're making real-time choices here.
Yeah, okay.
It's, we keep it nerdy, and we say, pick your favorite science fiction or fantasy character.
Yeah,
and now,
right.
And now have them run... You need to run a campaign ad for them. And why they should be president.
Lady Sylvanas does not want to have... Lady wants to raise taxes on the middle and lower income.
Lady Sylvanas might be dead, but she smells bad. Wouldn't you rather have? Yeah, you guys.
Garrosh Hellscream wants to build a wall and keep out the.
Yep, it'd be black. That part will be black and white, and then you have the right. Full color happy music for the guy you're running with.
Done.
Like, I love it. So done. That's our idea. That's what we're doing. We will have details tomorrow on the actual mechanics of this.
Hi, I'm Mal Reynolds, and I approve this message.
Exactly. I like that idea a lot. All right.
All right, boom. Well, there we go. All details right. Now.
Yeah, details now. Tomorrow we'll have the mechanics, like where to go and what to sign up on and all that.
Right.
We'll get you guys going. It. Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right, let's do Stump Daryl. It's time for Stump Daryl. That means you guys got to call in 801-895-4724 is the number to call. That's a live number. We'll add you straight in here, and I'm taking the first guy I get, or lady. Here it is. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Emily.
Well, hello, Emily. Emily. Oh, it's the return of Emily. We love Emily. Emily's great. How are you, Emily?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you all?
I'm fantastic. Remind us where you're from, Emily.
I am from Northern Kentucky.
That's right.
Cincinnati area.
I should know this, because you say Northern Kentucky every time, and I forget that part.
Are you gonna finally win this time, or have you won before?
I won the first time I called in, but then the other two times I called in, I actually had to answer stuff, and I'm really bad at trivia, so I lost.
That's right. That's right. Well, Northern Kentucky, that's the land of Raylan Givens and haulers that are full of drug money.
That's right.
That's how I see the world.
Boyd Crowder town.
Yeah. You're in Crowderville. Well, excellent. It's good to have you here, and for those who don't at home know what I'm talking about, watch Justified. It's a fantastic show. Mm-hmm. Emily, you probably know the rules, but Brian's going to explain them anyway for the benefit of our listeners. Brian, how does it go?
Yes. So, Emily, we are going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. And when we do, we want to, we want you to tell us whether or not he's going to get that question right or wrong. If your prediction is correct, today you have the chance to win a copy of Tesla Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure that we did not give away last week. And today I'm adding Desktop Dungeons. I don't know what this is. It is another Steam game.
Oh, no, that's a fine game.
Courtesy of D8UV, who has actually been a player on this business. Mm-hmm. So Desktop Dungeons is going to be added to the thing right there. And it has now been.
Desktop Dungeons is a very fun, roguelike-y kind of thing. It's great. Great game.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. I own that. I can speak to its quality.
Nice. What you could win. But... Yeah. First, you need to get the question right or get the prediction right. And your category today is Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pokemon.
Okay.
Fun story. That was the first category that I had when I
Oh, really?
In.
Oh, well, maybe you'll win. Maybe you'll win again. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, let's find out.
I think it was like your story or something. I don't remember.
Well, we'll see. How do you think Daryl's going to do? You think you get it right or wrong?
Well, last time we did the Pokemon thing, he got the question wrong, and I didn't know enough to help him. But now I'm playing Pokemon Go, so now I actually kind of know about Pokemon, but I'm going to be a negative Nancy and say get it wrong.
All right. Okay. Because I'm like you. I'm playing it, but I don't know nothing. I walk around a corner and see like a Figgly Buck or whatever the hell they're called, and I don't know what it is. I just know that, the more they evolve, this is one thing I've noticed about Pokemon. The more they evolve, the more they look like people. You notice that? Like some of them, they start out as little blobulous things with like a wing and a eyeball or something. And then their third evolution, they look like a dude in a costume.
Humanoid blob dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like a guy in cosplay. It's really weird. Anyway, all right. Well, I like the sound of that. You think he's going to get it wrong? Listen, I'm with you. I think he's probably going to get it wrong too. But let's find out together as I call him on the phone.
Did she officially say this time wrong?
Yes, she did.
Okay. All right.
Calling... Daryl.
Okay.
Right? Am I calling Daryl? I am.
You're calling Daryl.
Daryl's who I'm calling. Here's his theme. Whoops. Here's his theme.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Time to stump Daryl. Hi, Daryl. What's going on?
Hello. I'm ready to be stumped.
Oh, are you now?
Ooh,
great.
Wow.
That sounds like a very... You sound confident today. What's that about?
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be stumped.
Okay. He sounds confident they'll be stumped.
Oh, well, that may be true. Yeah. What do you, what does a guy like you do for breakfast? What sorts of nutritional intake do you partake in so that you are best ready to handle a hard trivia question?
I grab the first bag that I see in the cabinet and eat whatever it is.
Wow, first wow. bag.
That's eat my cereal.
Okay, but so what if it's...
you get those Multi-Meal cereals?
No, they're just well, we take them out of the box.
Oh, they they're those kind of people, Brian, that take the that open the box and take the bag out and have it like that.
Why would you do that?
Because people are crazy. I've seen this before and I don't understand it.
Actually, I'm not the one that does it.
Oh, all right. But I don't understand it. I used to have friends that did this when I was younger. I have people I know in our neighborhood now who do this. Like, we're over there like, you kids want some cereal? Just grab one of the bags. I'm like, what are we talking about? I look in the thing and they've got it all bagged out. And I asked them, why is that? And somebody told me, one of the kids says, well, it's because you can see what it is through the bag. And I said, you can see what it is on the box.
Right. Does it fit better in the cabinet when it's just bags?
I think it fits better if it's in the box still.
Yeah,
I agree too.
Like it's not all puffed out.
Yeah, Brian, imagine if you stacked your book collection in not book form, but just wadded up paper balls.
Yeah.
It's super weird.
Right. Yeah, that does seem...
super weird. Don't get it.
Super weird.
Daryl, time for this. Here is this that we do now. We do it now, and we do it for you. On the phone is Emily.
It's brought to you by...
Oh, yeah, and it's brought to you by... Who is this brought to us by?
It's brought to you by the All Roads Tavern Actual Play RPG Podcast. The Void Ocean crew dives deeper into the sunken temple of the great Sharktopus Luska. Sharktopus Luska. That's easy to say. What horrors await them in its rotten, murky depths? Will our heroes have the strength to persevere? Oh, you just have to wait and find this tale and more at lithmage.com. That's lithmage.com.
All right. Hey, Emily's on the phone, Daryl. You remember her? She won because of you once.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She lost because of you a couple other times.
Well, no, it wasn't because of Daryl. It was because Daryl wasn't there, and I had to answer trivia.
Oh, right. I remember now. Right.
So you lost because of yourself, but you won because of Daryl.
Yeah.
Yes, Daryl's a good luck charm, I guess.
You're like a rabbit's foot hanging around someone's neck. This is great. Is that still a thing people get, though? Would that be frowned upon in today's politically correct society?
I think so. You don't see those in gift shops as much anymore, do you?
Mm-mm. You could fake it pretty good, right? Like you'd make a fake little stuffed Chinese one or something.
Sure.
Anyway, that's...
Boy, we could totally supply... This neighborhood could supply the world with rabbit's feet for as long as they wanted.
Oh, you guys get so little rabbits around? Really? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got some advice. Sorry, everybody. Here's some quick practical advice. If sure. you've got a bowl of sunflower seeds next to you at your bed there, do your best not to elbow it in the middle of the night and have it scatter all over the floor. Because what will happen is at about 3 a.m. I hear this little... like this sound. And I look under the bed with my phone's flashlight and scared off two little mice buddies who decided to get in the house somehow and come get some stuff. And now my wife's completely freaked out. That they were in there. It's like finding out it's like finding out a naked guy was sitting in your room all night while you slept. It's super weird.
Could I widen the circle on your recommendation?
Yeah.
Maybe don't have a bowl of sunflower seeds next to your bed at all. Can you eat those in a different place? What are you doing eating those in bed?
I don't know. Is that as weird as cereal pulled out of the boxes and put in bags? I don't know.
Just as weird. Just as weird. Food does not belong next to the bed.
You're right, though, aren't you? You're right. I'll take full responsibility for this one.
Yeah.
I got to go suck all of it up tonight so they don't do it again. All right. So, Emily and Daryl, here's Daryl's question. Daryl, you ready for your question? It's Pokemon related, by the way.
Is it Pokemon or Pokemon Go?
Pokemon related.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be Go. I mean, that's the thing. Is it's just we know it has to do with Pokemon, which is short for pocket monsters, I understand.
Well, don't give away potential questions and answers. I mean, I don't know what Iceworm's about to ask. I can't read ahead that far to know, but that could be a question.
It could be, but thank goodness it's not. Here it is. In the Pokemon games and cartoon, Ash is often shown with his homie Pikachu, says Iceworm.
Of course.
I have to always point out when he says homie because I would not say that.
Right.
Pikachu is part of Ash's squad. Oh, my Lord, Mike, for real. In what earlier Pokemon game do you start off with Pikachu as your very first Pokemon? Is it A, Pokemon Red, B, Pokemon Blue, C, Pokemon Green, or D, Pokemon Yellow? So you got your red, your blue, your green, and your yellow.
Pokemon Chartreuse.
Pokemon Photo Blue. So they can never take pictures of that one. It's a real pain in the butt.
Oh, it's tough, yeah.
So what do you think there, dude? Red, blue, green, yellow.
I have no clue at all. Mm. But he is yellow.
Yeah. All of these are traffic light colors except for blue. Just throwing that out there. I don't know if that helps you or not. Probably won't.
They're all process colors except for green.
Yeah, and I should say these are all Pokemon games. These are actual Pokemon games, so none of these are fake.
Right.
Okay. That doesn't help.
Nope.
Well, does Pokemon
Ultraviolet.
Yeah. Burnt Umber.
Does Emily have any advice?
Well, the only Pokemon game I've actually played is Pokemon Go. I somehow missed this in my childhood. My guess is green. I don't know. They're all the same. All I know is red and blue were the first ones. And, like, they always come out in threes. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sorry, Daryl. I'm the worst.
Ruby and Sapphire? I mean, after a while, they stopped doing colors completely, and they started doing, like, Pokemon...
Like rare gems.
Right, yeah, exactly.
They're on like Sun and Moon right now.
Yeah, and those are the rarest of gems, the Sun and the Moon. Mm. No one gets to own the Sun and Moon.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Pokemon Moon and the Stars and the Stallion that mounts the world.
Yeah. Spoilers. Just kidding. Not really. So yeah, there you go. What do you think, Daryl? She thinks maybe green.
I don't know. Just because the Pokemon guy, what's his name? The yellow guy?
Pikachu?
Yeah, just because he's yellow. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it does.
Maybe it does. I don't know. Do you think it would have anything? I feel like all of these were the old black and white Game Boy, but I could be wrong. I should not interject here. I have no idea.
Yeah. How could they have colors if they were black and white?
Well, they were. It was you got to remember, the first Pokemon games appeared on the original Game Boy, which was... You know, that green, that pea green looking.
Right, right. LCD.
Yeah.
I thought they were Game Boy Color games.
There were later.
Is that when they started?
No, they started the very
they
first
had some
two.
On game, regular Game Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The very first two, I want to say, were on Game Boy, I believe. Mm. But then you're right, later Color, and then GBA, and then the world.
How could you tell what color they were if it was black and white?
You couldn't.
The box.
Yeah, the box.
Oh, okay.
What's in the box?
I'm gonna say yellow is put in as a no, that's stupid logic. I'll do it anyway.
Okay.
Yellow was put in as a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, how many of these colors were there? Maybe there were only four, and that's.
Well, I don't know. There've been a ton. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done like regular colors, but then they've also done like. You know, later on, like fire red and leaf green, and
yeah, and then they do offshoots like Pokemon Snap and
yeah,
Coliseum. What was the Coliseum? Oh, what was it called? Pokemon Champion
like Battle Arena or
Battle
something?
Battle Arena, Battle Arena Pokemon. Doshinden.
Yeah, I guess that was Doshinden. Yeah.
I don't remember, but they had all that kind of weird stuff, and they still like. There's a game I'm going to review this week on TMSPM that is an absolute freaking ripoff of Pokemon Snap, which is that photo thing they did
right?
But it's awesome. It's
which in and of
awesome.
Itself was a ripoff of like, not Silent Hill, but what were some of those games where you weren't supposed to catch the enemies, you were supposed to take pictures of them?
Oh, right. It was like,
a horror.
The scary thing you're supposed
horror
to be.
Horror genre.
What was that? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, Veronica's gone 1 week and we just don't know about video games now.
Fatal Frame.
Weird Japanese business that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Daryl, you liking green? You liking yellow? What do you like?
I don't like any of them.
RGBY.
I'm going to say, I guess I'll. Well, I'm thinking that the answer. I mean, that the. What am I trying to say?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a great question.
I'm thinking Emily thinks I'll get it wrong, so I'll say green since when she does the guessing, it's wrong. So we'll say green.
Okay, we're going to say green. But before we do that, can you say one more time, say what am I trying to say? Say that one more time. Just one more time.
I can't do that on command.
All right, so here's Daryl saying, what am I trying to say?
That's a good question.
I just really wanted to play that. That's all. I just wanted to play it. All right, so you say green. Let's find out if he's right about that being green. Is it?
Oh, no.
I forgot we're using that one now. That is incorrect, but that's good because she said you'd get it wrong.
Oh, good. That's what I thought.
And the answer is yellow. So your heart was in the right place earlier when you said yellow.
I was so scared you were going to say yellow because I actually own yellow and Pikachu's on the cartridge.
Yeah.
Like he is physically on the cartridge. And the only reason I was like green is because green and blue, I think, are the same game.
Yeah.
Like it was green in Japan and then blue here, but I could be completely wrong.
I'm not sure. I think I swear my brain says red and blue were the first games that were released simultaneously.
They were here. I think green is just a Japanese game because the remake of blue, I think, is Leaf Green. But then again, I could be totally wrong and just not know anything.
People in the chat room are agreeing with you though that you've got that right.
Yay!
So, nice job.
Oh, well done. You know nothing about Pokemon yet you know everything about Pokemon. Well done. You've won Tesla Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure, which looks rad, and also this great game I've been playing called Desktop Dungeons. They are both yours. You can feel free to use them, give them away, or treat them however you like. Well
you
done,
just
Emily.
You just got to email me to get them or contact me in the chat room. Yeah. That's all you have to do. Just one of those two things.
Yeah, pretty easy. Nicely done.
Sweet. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Emily. Have a great time in Northern Kentucky.
Thanks. I'm actually in Indianapolis, though.
Oh, well, have fun in Indianapolis.
Right now, right this second. I mean, right this second.
Are you there? Are you there for the 500? Are you there for Gen Con? Like, what are you doing in Indianapolis?
I was there. I played Pokemon Go all weekend while Gen Con was going on and didn't attend the event.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. That's totally
all right. Well, if you see Mike Pence, tell him his running mate's an idiot. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Okay, Daryl. What are we doing here? Oh, I know. We're going to then have you goodbye. Or no, we're going to have you do a thing. So I'm going to say this. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Find him there. You can find him at This Week in Trek and thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. All right, now, you play a little game with us on the occasion, well, every day really, called Google... Hold on. I really did forget it. Googleless Maximus.
I know. I Googled it.
There it is. Danny Trejo says he Googled it, so it's time for you to give us a Google thing. You'll explain. Go ahead. What is it?
I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
Why is my blank?
Why is my
We want the number one answer.
Is it one word or do we know?
I know, but should I say?
Well, can it be more than one word, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it can.
Okay. Oh, yeah, this will have to be. I'm guessing it's going to be a medical thing like why is my pee green? Or what's the... like if you eat... why is my? So it wouldn't be why does my pee smell funny. So it'd be more like a
why is my pee smell funny?
Why is my pee green?
All right. Brian says green. Really? Green?
Green.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why is my...
Pickled beets in it. Why turn is mine red.
Why is my... Okay, I got it. Why is my... oh gosh.
This is so serious.
Why is my screen blue? I'm trying to think of like a tech support problem.
Yeah, so you're thinking that it's not an Ask WebMD, but more like a Yahoo Answers support.
Yeah, which will get you nowhere, by the way. Just for the record, Yahoo Answers will get you nowhere.
Right.
All right, I guess I'll stay with that. It's gonna be something related to something tech in my mind, but that's as close as I can think of one.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to give it to Brian because it's why is my poop green?
Oh, wow. That's the number one?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is because I ate that crappy Burger King Death Black Burger, whatever it was called.
Here's the problem. WebMD will give you a couple of answers there. They'll say, oh, you probably ate something too green or you had a bunch of salad or you did this other thing. Or they'll say, you're not your appendix, your other thing. Your, what's it called up there? Your little meaty one. The one that helps break stuff down, gets bad cancers.
Your gizzard?
What's that called? It's right up there. It's a little slivery looking deal. Pancreas. It's your pancreas, is what I meant. And if that thing's malfunctioning, or your liver, you can get weird, unprocessed green schmoo.
Look out, Dr. McDreamy. Here's Scott gunning for your job.
It's pretty damn good. You got to admit.
Slippery thing.
All right, here's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
The news brought to you by.
Are you a geek? A nerd?
Yeah.
Or just super passionate about comic books, video games, movies, and other geekery? Then check out Geek Grills. Not Bear Grills, but Geek Grills, a podcast about geeky things hosted by women. Is it Geek Grills? It is Geek Grills. Okay, I want to make sure it wasn't a typo. It was a podcast about geeky things hosted by women. Our website is Greek. Oh, I'm sure that is not part of the domain.
Right.
Geekgrills.com, GRILLS.com, or find us on iTunes and Stitchers. That once again, geekgrills.com.
I think it's like, hey, those are some cute grills. Like it's like a short, it's like a slang for girls, I think.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know the new language. The
I
new
don't know.
Lingo.
I don't know what these kids are doing.
No.
All right. He doth protest too much for reals. Check this out.
All right.
Stockton, California mayor arrested, accused of playing strip poker with a minor and giving them alcohol. There's my horn. I freaking hate that horn. Stockton Mayor Anthony Silva was arrested Thursday at his youth camp on charges he played strip poker with a minor and provided youngsters with alcohol, according to authorities. Silva was taken into custody the day after Amador County prosecutors filed criminal charges against him based on an evidence uncovered by the FBI. That's the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The 42-year-old mayor, aren't they always, stands accused of one felony count of making an illegal recording and one misdemeanor count each of providing alcohol to a minor, cruelty to a child by endangering their health and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He said through his attorney that he denies the accusations. He was released Thursday afternoon on $20,000 bail. Charges stem from a recent search of Silva's cellular phone by the FBI. Local prosecutors say they were provided the details of that search on July 26th. He went on later to explain that this is a guy who shows up at a lot of sort of...
Like he does a lot of protests. Not protests, but like his platform is...
Mm-hmm. Everyone's...
Treating minors right and stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Or, you know, goes to anti-gay rally things and things like that. So, listen, man. Get yourself some help. What did our friend Michael Jordan say about that? Hold on. I think Jordan had something to say.
Let's see what he says.
Yeah, here he is. He says this to, hey, Mayor Silva.
Stop it. Get some help.
There you go. Stop it. Get some help.
Wow, some real talk from Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Let's move on here to, this is interesting. Springfield attorney says Tesla autopilot mode helped him survive a medical emergency. So all we hear about lately is, oh no, autopilot killed a person today. Right. Autopilot did terrible things and stuff. And I've always been sort of like, 38,000 people died today of regular car accidents. And you had one goof with a bright sun and some weird camera error. Although, you know, look, the better we make it, the better we're going to be. But, you know, humans have a way of taking something very small and.
You call it an accidental automotive death. I call it beta testing.
There you go. Exactly.
No. Don't write in your emails. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you just know Brian's just kidding.
I'm totally kidding.
This guy says he's an attorney. Says mid-afternoon on July 26th, attorney Joshua Neely got into his Tesla Model X near his downtown Springfield law office to make a drive home to Branson. Oh, that's Branson. Branson, Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wonder if you
didn't know people lived in Branson. I thought Yakov Smirnoff or whatever his name was the only one who actually lived in Branson.
He needed to drive by him. He's going, hey, what a country. Stay on your side of the road. It was his daughter's fourth birthday and he had plans for the evening. For a few days, he'd been feeling some pain in his chest and abdominal region. He thought he may have pulled a muscle. He took Chestnut Expressway, merged onto US 65 and drove south Springfield to city limits. Then things got worse. I was in excruciating pain. I never had such pain in my life. He had a heart attack. He flicked on the autopilot. It took him safely where he needed to go.
Wow.
If he hadn't done that, he would have gone and crashed into something.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, hey, man, there's
at the very least, he would have had to pull over to the side of the road and he probably would have passed away there. So,
yeah, good idea.
Wow. Very cool. See, I like hearing good stories like this because it's
once in a while, it's okay.
Yeah. Technology. We need to not fear it. It's, you know.
I wonder how old this guy is. I'm just curious. So I can, you know, be paranoid about so I can be needlessly paranoid.
Seems young because his daughter is just turning 4.
That's true. Although Metzen just had a baby and he's our age. So I don't know, man. You know, Tony Randall, he had a kid and he was...
Tony Randall. Come on now.
71 or something like that? Had a kid? He's dead, right?
I think so, yeah.
Tony Randall, hold on. I gotta look it up.
I like how we go from wondering if how old this guy was for, you know, having a heart attack. Yeah, he died in 2004 at the age of 84.
Yeah, he did. So his kid was, what, 8 when he died?
Right.
That's so weird to me. I don't think that's fair to the kid. I don't know. It could be whatever. I don't want to make any judgments.
Of course.
Do what you want to do, you people. Who am I calling you people?
Exactly.
Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart together at last.
Finally.
They're going to host a weekly dinner party show on VH1. That's the, you know, the one channel
the
that had
bad ideas.
The Viacom-themed cable network has gone straight to a series with Martha and Snoop's Dinner Party. That's the name of it. Martha and Snoop's Dinner Party. why are they doing this?
Because it just seems, you know, oh, what'll happen if we put these two crazy people together and have them host a dinner party? This will be funny for an episode.
I think I hate it already.
Who are some of their guests? That's where it's going to be.
It says this. They're going to throw a joint party every week together.
Joint party.
I don't know if they even meant
it. I'll bet that wasn't even intentional from Billboard.com.
I don't think it was either. This isn't the Huffington Post. Listen, darling, you must have lots of innuendo in there. Martha and Snoop's Dinner Party will feature lifestyle expert and Emmy award-winning TV host and rapper and producer Snoop Dogg throwing a weekly dinner party in which they invite celebrity friends over for what VH1 describes as half-baked evening of cocktails, cooking, conversation, and fun where nothing is off limits. They're going to do it.
just use one arm to sweep all the dishes and placemats and glasses off the table and then just...
Yep.
Get it all.
Here they use this word again. The VH1 series marks the first joint collaboration for Stewart and Snoop Dogg. The duo most recently were on ABC's $100,000 Pyramid and have previously shared experiences on Comedy Central's Justin Bieber Roast as well as Stewart's talk show.
Yeah. I've seen the two of them doing something together. Here's the thing. This article, I'm looking through the whole thing, trying to scan it over. Not one bit about like who some of their guests might be on this.
I would really be curious.
Because that's what's going to make it. I mean, and it's going to be, you know, Snooki from Jersey Shore. And
this is terrible.
One of the Real Housewives of something. And
Every ounce of this story pisses me off in some way.
Because it's VH1. VH1 isn't going to be able to pull down Clooney.
No. George Clooney over there. No way. Not a chance. This isn't even going to be as good as Favreau's Party of Five or whatever that was called. That he did that show on...
Dinner for Five, I think.
Yeah, was that what it's called?
Yeah, that was actually a really good show.
Yeah, it was good, and it always had really interesting guests, like good top-level guests, like not crap guests.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, whatever, there it is. You know what's ironic here? If out of context you came up and asked somebody, said, all right, here's a photo of Martha Stewart here, and here's a photo of Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. Which one of these two, you'd play with their stereotypes, you'd say, which one of these two you think has served prison time?
Right, that is true.
And your first guess would probably be Snoop, and then you'd be wrong because I think Martha Stewart. I don't think Snoop's ever been in prison or in jail.
No, I don't think so either.
Maybe small stuff like back in the day, but he's constantly blowing pot smoke in people's faces, so I don't know how he never gets arrested, but whatever.
Yeah.
Snoopy
poopy poop dog.
Anybody got a good line in the chat room about what an episode would be called? Like, smoke oregano every day. Like, what are we doing for that show? We got to have something. There's got to be some good stuff here.
Beef and spleef.
Beef and spleef. That's not bad.
That was just me throwing that out there. I'm just looking. I'm looking on any article I can find to see if they've got any listings, if they're teasing any guests. It seems like, you know.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg living. Yes. I also like blunt talk. Nice one. Or blunt cooking, blunt rather.
That's good.
Joint
baking
crafts.
Baked.
Yeah, baking baked. Baked baking. Weed, it's a good thing. cook it till it's hot. That's not oregano. These are all very good. You guys are all geniuses.
Nice. All right. If anybody can find some information on who some of the guests are going to be, please let us know.
Yeah. I like that idea. Olympic swimmer flips off his dad before every race, and it was his dad's idea. For a guy who spends a lot of time in the water, Canadian swimmer Santo Corleone.
Condorelli.
Thank you. Is getting. Remember Flight of the Condorelli? Such a good show.
Such a funny show.
Yeah. It's getting known for his birds, not the flying kind, but the kind you flip at other people, usually in anger. But before every race, Cordarelli, 21, flashes the middle finger to his dad, Joseph. You know, this one. There's a photo of it. Mm-hmm. The elder Cordarelli dutifully flips him back. The bird, dutifully, says, duly.
Yes, indeedly, doodly.
Dutifully, right?
Yes,
dutifully. The bizarre pregame ritual started when the kid was 8 years old, competing in swim meets against older, faster swimmers. Dad said, you've got to build your confidence yourself and say F everybody else and you're racing. Santo told the Canadian press. He said, every time you're behind the blocks, give me the finger and I'll give it to you back. It seems to have worked. He is now fulfilling his Olympic dream. He'll be racing Saturday, or rather Sunday, in the freestyle relay. Tuesday in the 100 meter, mile. Like the Olympics uses miles. And next Thursday in the 50-meter free, whatever a free is. What's the free? Just freestyle?
Yep.
Okay, they didn't put... They're getting all inside baseball here.
Right.
As you might expect, not everyone sees the flip-off as a touching gesture from a son to father. Like the time TV cameras picked up the gesture. I was looking at my father and gave him the finger, directing it right at the camera. He said, I had to write an apology. I think it's great, dude.
It is great. And it's funny because... That, you know, no way NBC is gonna to show it, right? They're gonna have to do like the 7 second delay and cut to a scene from the audience or something like that.
Yeah, I freaking love it. No complaints here. Keep doing it. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey guys, sit back. Actually, you know what? Lay down for this one. Well, maybe not, because you're not laying on a mattress I would use. I'm here to talk to you about Casper.com. I have a Casper mattress, and I love my Casper mattress because it is obsessively engineered, and it's made for a fair price. And I had 100 days to try it out. That is my favorite thing about these guys. I had 100 days to try this out. I didn't have to go to some showroom, lay where 1,000 others have laid, not really sure what's going on, bombarded by salespeople. It came to my house, shipped right here. Put it on the stuff, laid down, and went, oh, this is nice. I wonder how I'll feel. Well, I have 100 days to find out. And it ended up loving it. It's amazing. Soft, comfortable. I've never slept better. And I bought it easily online, completely risk-free. So why don't you try it? Try sleeping on a Casper mattress. They understand the importance of truly trying out a mattress. That's the thing you're going to spend like a third of your life on. You know, that's how much time you spend in bed. It's important, man. They're all made in the USA. Free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. Whoa! Free shipping, too, on that tryout. Think of that. Here's what I want you to do. Get on over to Casper.com and check them out. Casper.com/morningstream specifically, and enter the code MORNINGSTREAM. That's going to get you $50 off or $50 toward a new mattress purchase by going there. That's Casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. That's Casper.com/MorningStream and the code MorningStream. Terms and conditions apply. That's Casper.com. Go. All right, we're back, and it's time for Indie in the Middle, Brian.
That's right, and today we're listening to a track from a brand new album from a band called Decorations. And album came out June 10th, so it's been out for a little while. You're going to like this, though. You're going to want to go pick it up, and I encourage you to do that. The vocalist and jack of all trades, Devin Geyer, is the lead singer and performer for Decorations. He started writing the music from the album after finding himself living alone and brokenhearted in Silver Lake without a car, without a girlfriend, and without a gig.
Oh, man.
But he decided to translate that frustration, channel it in a good way, and turn it into the tracks on this album. And it's really, really good. It's a millennial mash of Elvis Costello's romanticism, The Who's youth and revolt, and just a pinch of indie adventurousness. The album is called Have Fun. This is the Decorations, and their song is entitled... Oh, I lost it. Their song is entitled Promise.
Nice.
YouTube blocked True Prophecy. And I would say, whoa, 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 to you people who are blocking True Prophecy.
Go home to mommy.
Now all I have is a mission. This is the Morning Stream.
We're back. That was great.
Yeah.
The video featured a guy barfing on a couch.
Like it was a relationship in high speed time lapse or something, I guess.
Kind of, sort of. There was a photo or a painting on the wall that kept animating, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah.
It's cool. I liked it a lot, actually. You know what it reminded me of? It's like, I don't even know if it's a genre, but there's a certain kind of late 80s, early 90s alternative that sounds just like that, and I can't put my finger on who. I couldn't even give you an example of who, but this just rings very familiar to me.
That's really cool.
Good. I liked it. We're gonna do a little thing here with Stephen Schleicher. Are you familiar with his work? He's a fine young man.
He is a spoiler. Oh, he serves in the military, right? He's like got a military title.
Yeah, he's a major in the military. Hope one day to
formerly
be
formerly corporal spoilers, now major spoilers.
Yeah, corporal spoilers. It sounds like I don't know what that sounds like. So we're going to get him in here and see if he has things to say about stuff.
Okay. You
know, we're coming off a week of Gen Con. Not that anything gets announced there, but maybe he'll have some thoughts there. I don't know. I do know this, though. I got a little thing to play for him. Oh, he did that thing where he answered the video and then quickly got rid of it again. I like that. I like that a lot.
He wasn't wearing pants, it looked like.
No pants. Everybody, sit on down and set a spell. It's Stephen Schleicher on the line. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Yeah? You doing all right? I'm glad to hear that. You like the Mr. Robot? You've been watching that?
I am and I'm not. There's a love-hate relationship, especially which is weird. The first season of Mr. Robot, I got about four episodes in. I'm like, everybody does know that this is the Fight Club, right? It just irritated the heck out of me.
Wait. For real, though? Is that really what's happening? Because I didn't know that. Is that really where this all ends up? I know it feels...
I don't know. I didn't finish the season, so I know. I will let you figure that out.
I know narrative-wise, there's some similarities, certainly in tone, you know, like I can feel
it. And so that's really weird because I watch Stranger Things and I'm like, well, this is like every 80s movie I ever watched as a kid. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's this weird thing of getting but on the one hand, if what they're doing in Mr. Robot is the Fight Club, they've never come out and said, oh, yes, we're paying homage to this. Whereas the Duffer Brothers with Stranger Things are like, yes, this is totally us ripping off every movie that we ever loved in the 80s. And so I guess it's okay that way.
Why is it that sometimes the best stuff being made for films and TV are coming from brothers? Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Right. Wachowski brothers and Farrelly brothers and...
Well, sisters now, the Wachowski, but yes.
Yeah. And oh, then right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, siblings.
They're both siblings. Yeah, that just doesn't sound the same though, does it? But yeah. Like, who's the other one thing? Oh, the Russo brothers with the recent Marvel stuff. And what's up with the brothers, man? They're killing it. All these brothers getting together from other mother, not the same mother. I think that's great. I think that's a really
brother.
Cool thing. Yeah. I think that's a cool thing. I'm not, you know. Yeah. Definitely not a bad thing. And I don't know, maybe there's just a Coen brothers. Man, how did I forget them for a minute?
Of course the Coen brothers, yeah.
Like, is there there must be some secret sauce. If you can find a brother you really get along with and can be creative with, perhaps you can be the next big brothers, you know?
Well, my kids don't have anything to worry about then.
Well, good. So, Steve...
Can't stand them enough to direct a movie with them, huh?
No, they can't stand each other. So
we're in the heady days of, hey, it's a week since Comic-Con ended.
Yeah, a couple of weeks, yeah.
Which, by the
Gen
way...
Gen Con just ended, though, this past week.
That's true, but which, by the way, I wanted to mention this. Of all the Comic-Cons I can remember in recent history, this one seemed like there was the least going on.
Yeah, it kind of did seem that way, and I think that's also because we just came off Star Wars celebration in Britain that weekend before, and so we got a lot of Star Wars news from that, and last year Star Wars was the big thing at the... At Comic-Con.
Oh,
so I think that's part of the reason why there may be some downer stuff. Plus, we knew everything that everyone was going to show. There wasn't any kind of a surprise revelation except that Ben Affleck was also directing the standalone Batman movie. That was probably a big revelation. But we kind of knew everything else that everybody was going to hype and promote. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the weeks leading up to it, small publishers always release their press releases saying, hey, here are things that we're going to be talking about at our panels. Please come.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm not a fan of BVS, and I'm not a fan of what they're saying anyway about Suicide Squad. I'm seeing it tomorrow, so I'll say for myself when I see it. Mm-hmm. But hearing that Affleck is directing that, for me, is a big boost of confidence because he's yet to direct something bad. He makes good movies.
Right.
Argo was amazing. The Town was amazing. Like, he knows his stuff when it comes to that. So whether or not that translates well to the Caped Crusader.
Is Suicide Squad Zack Snyder?
No.
No, that is David Ayer.
David Ayer.
David Ayer, okay.
Who came out and basically apologized for the movie.
For saying F you, Marvel.
Yeah, and said...
Oh, really?
It was a premiere night.
Yeah.
The movie hadn't gotten a lot of good advanced reviews. Yeah. And somebody had asked him during the premiere what he thought of the competition between Marvel and DC. And he was just basically F Marvel.
Yeah.
And then he went back later and apologized. But both, you know, Joe Quesada, who is the editor over at Marvel, and Stan Lee were both like, yes, okay, no big deal.
Yeah, not that big a deal.
You know what? I'm going into this one, just because I was a little disappointed with BVS, I'm going into this one saying, you know what? I'm going to have separate expectations. I'm not going to have a blanket superhero film set of expectations. I'm just going to maintain separate expectations for Marvel movies and DC movies, because I think if I go into it with, you know, all right, these are my DC expectations, this is what I want to see out of a DC movie, then I'm sure I'm going to be...
Well, so this brings up a really, really great question. Mm. Okay. So Suicide Squad is not a superhero movie, right?
Right.
Suicide Squad is a...
True.
It's an anti-hero movie. It's a villain movie. It is literally, and this isn't a spoiler because you kind of know what the premise is of Suicide Squad. They round up these villains and make them go and do something for the government.
Wait, what?
It is the exact same. It's the exact same premise that you see in the Dirty Dozen.
No, it's just like
the Dirty Dozen. If you're going to make a comparison, right?
Oh yeah, that's the other thing I've been hearing a lot is Dirty Dozen comparisons. That's right.
Yeah. So the question that I have for you guys then is. Is a movie like this, should these movies be fun movies? Just because it's in the superhero genre doesn't mean that it has to be quote unquote fun and uplifting and happy.
No, I don't think so.
No,
Road to Perdition, which is based on, not a superhero film or a supervillain film for that matter, but it is based on comic book, graphic novel content. And it has got a very dark tone, a great dark tone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there should be movies that have that tone. There should be movies in the quote unquote superhero genre that should have that tone.
People, okay. if you
then
have
in that case, you are prepared for Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, okay.
Are you prepared to receive my?
Is this the problem though? Because the problem I'm hearing is that it's just bad, no matter what the tone is they're striking.
It's a fine movie.
Okay.
It's not a great movie, but it's a fine movie.
All right, I'm going tomorrow. $5 Tuesdays is what I'm all about.
So. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, the thing that I see a lot of people are like, why does this have to be so dark? Why can't superhero movies be fun? And it's like, well, number one, this isn't superhero movies. I mean, it's in that genre, but it is a bunch of bad guys doing bad things.
Yeah, it's the Joker who's barely in it, I heard. Is that
right.
true?
Right. Well, you have to see it for yourself. Apparently, everybody's mad at me for saying something about Fight Club.
Whoops.
You said it feels like Fight Club. There's no spoiler. It felt like Fight
Club.
No,
it really does. It feels like, I mean, if you're not by episode four, Scott, if you're not feeling a Fight Club vibe.
Oh, I totally am.
Okay, then.
But okay, let me.
The anarchy and the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. It's just everything about, tonally. It's also like Fincher school. The whole thing is very Finchery.
Right, right, right.
That is not to say I am completely in. Like, it is freaking great. I will not stop until I've got every last drop wrung out of this thing. I'm so into it. And I'm hearing season two is real, real good. But what surprised me? I didn't know USA Network could get all F-bomb-y and after
9 o'clock. Yeah.
Can they? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just an open rule now for any of the first tier cable?
It depends on how far they want to go with the language. Because if they do start getting into F-bombs and S-words, then they can be fined. But really go back to South Park with their... what was it? The F episode?
Yeah, that was great.
Where they kind of just said, hey, we're going to push it to the limits. And the FCC was like, well, okay, go ahead. And they really didn't get a huge fine off of that. So
no,
that kind of was that door that opens up and lets everybody else say, well, if it's okay, then I guess AMC can show decapitations and we can do all sorts of violent things on USA and we can get away with a lot.
Yeah. Do you know what it means? Here's what it means.
And the co-prophet of these end times.
End times.
And
end times. End times.
That's right. So, all right. Well, anyway, let's talk about what's going on. The Doctor Strange Dice Masters thing. Explain that. What's going on with that?
Oh, so, you know, I know, Brian, you're a fan of the Dice Masters, especially the Marvel side. Well, instead of buying a whole starter set or buying a giant gravity feed to get a bunch of stuff, WizKids is now releasing what are called team packs, where it's a, I think it's a collection of like 24 cards with about 12 dice in them so that you can build on an additional team. So basically, 12 cards, 24 dice, so that you can build up a specific team. And this one that's coming out pretty soon is Doctor Strange themed. So you'll be able to build your own Doctor Strange team into whatever Dice Master set that you have. So it's not like going out and buying, like I said, a starter set or a gravity feed. You got that's a pre-built cool. team ready to just add right into your collection, which is not a horrible thing to do.
That's good. We're a nice little thing to the lead up of
it's not as expensive too. Like you can just kind of get into it. Yeah.
It's like $15 or something like that. So
by the way, I'm doing like my wife. I didn't watch the trailer, the latest trailer or the Comic-Con trailer for Doctor Strange because I think I've seen enough. I already know I want to see it, so I'm just gonna go.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
I'm avoiding it.
That's discipline, man. I can't do it.
Kim,
I feel like
usually I can't, but Kim, who hasn't even seen the first teaser, is like, you should try this once. I said, all right, I'll try it with this one. I feel like this is a small one to do it on, so it's not that big a deal. Yeah.
I know you're not a big fan of putting poop glasses on your face, Scott, but...
I am not, sir.
Who is?
But I hear the 3D version is the real way to experience the Doctor Strange
really?
Movie.
Really?
Because see, I could see
because
that
of all the
folding...
mind whipping and the folding and the magic spells and everything.
Yeah.
They've said that this might be the one that you need to see in 3D.
Okay.
So here's what you do. Next time you go to the theater, Scott, get one of the 3D glasses. Don't put it on.
Okay.
Right? Just say, hey, I came back out of the theater. I didn't get my 3D glasses. Can I grab a pair and go back in?
Yeah.
And then take it home and just wash it and keep it your specific Scott Johnson pair of 3D glasses.
Put it in my own dishwasher because that's what they do. They
just I wouldn't put it in a dishwasher because you might melt it with
the
heat.
That's what they do. I watched them do this. They pulled a tray of them out of a dishwasher in the movie theater. Like that's how they were cleaning these freaking things. Weirdos, man. Everything about 3D is weird. Screw 3D.
All right, don't go see Dr. Strange.
No, I'll see it. I may. My eyes are weird too, though, so I kind of can't. No. I can't do get
the... I wonder if you can... Oh, man, seems like if they can make... Obviously, they can make sunglass lenses and these kind of lenses and polarized and gunner style lenses from a regular optometrist where they're using a prescription lens.
Sure.
Why can't they make you your own pair of 3D glasses that are with a prescription lens?
They can. They can. The problem is there are competing standards. So it depends on what movie you see and what theater is showing it. You may see it in the wrong 3D standard and then you're screwed.
Oh.
So if there was one 3D standard, great. But TVs, movies, and there's multiples in the movies, multiples on TVs, like all these standards. I know. Everyone settle on one.
It always seems like the 3D movies we go see have all the same.
Yeah, most of the movie theater stuff is real 3D stuff.
Yeah, you know, real 3D. What's the other one?
You can go buy a 4-pack of those glasses for like $8.
Yeah, so real 3D is the one standard. Then there's another one that still gets pushed around, and I forgot what it was. And I thought the IMAX thing uses something different than real 3D.
They do. They use the alternating, that's the one that has the flickering, alternating LED or LCD screens.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. If you ever want to see one of those IMAX, you'd be screwed. Or you'd have to get like 5 pair of, you know, prescription 3D glasses, which is kind of weird. Anyway, so what else? Wizards of the Coast have teamed up with Roll20. This is news came out of Gen Con. What does that mean? That's great news.
Well, so yeah, there's a couple of cool things with this in that if you are someone who likes to use Roll20 a lot, which is a virtual tabletop for people who are at distances or people that maybe just don't want to work with pen and paper but want to do everything electronically, they've teamed with Wizards of the Coast to bring a lot of the 5th edition stuff into the Roll20 environment. I believe if you go up there now, you'll find a lot of the supplemental materials, like some of the monsters are already up there for you to go ahead and look for in the 5th edition. But they're also releasing the modules now in electronic form. So if you want to play the Minds of Phandalever or whatever the title of it is, they have that entire module ready for you to go for like $19.99. It comes with all the maps, all the tokens, character sheets. It comes with all the monsters, everything that you're going to need to play the game inside of Roll20. And then next month, they have another one coming out in September. The Something of the Storm Kings is the next module. And they're going to continue to do that with Roll20. So,
oh, my God. This looks so perfect for like playing D&D remotely. I love this.
Don't they have an app as well? I thought they had an app.
Roll 20, you can play on your mobile device. Yeah. So if you don't want to have a computer sitting there in front of you, but maybe you want to do everything through your iPad, you can do that as well. It's great. We use it on Critical Hit now all the time since half of our people are remote. And it's great for ensuring that you have an accurate rolls from everyone. You can program in your spells and your abilities so that all you have to do is click a button and it'll automatically roll that attack or that check and come back with the answer. And you can even roll your damage that same way. So it really saves a lot on your mathing skills. And then on the other hand, from the DM side, it allows you to create some very wonderful maps. It allows you, depending on the subscription that you have, you can even have maps where, depending on where the players are in the map, it will reveal itself through different lights, lighting effects, and those kinds of things. So Roll20 is really very handy for people who are playing not just Dungeons & Dragons, but any RPG system. And if you go in there, even if you're looking for a group, you can go in and there's people still playing Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. There's people playing Pathfinder. There's people playing, you know, Fate systems, all using Roll20. So if you haven't ever checked it out and you're playing online with other people, Roll20 is a great way to do that. And it's also built into... what is it? The Google Hangouts.
Oh.
So you can use Roll20 inside Google Hangouts.
So that's cool. I like the sound of this. And then the fact that you guys are using it makes me, that's a nice endorsement. I think that.
Yeah. It's a good system.
Let's talk about the new Superman, not the movie. The dude who's on the TV series. His boots are stupid. Can I just say right out loud, his boots are stupid?
Awesome. Well, the first image that they released doesn't really do Tyler Hoechlin a lot of justice. It looks like his head
justice.
It looks like his head has just been pasted onto a weird cardboard cutout body, but
totally does.
The company has been releasing, the network has been releasing behind the scenes pictures and other pictures of Hoechlin from a bunch of different angles, including his butt, which a lot of people are like, man, that guy's got a great butt in that Superman costume. So that's really great that we're
round
getting,
butt.
Yes, yeah. It is. We're seeing a lot of Superman in promos coming up for this upcoming season of Supergirl, which I'm also a little concerned about.
Oh, tell us why you're concerned.
Well, this is a show called Supergirl, and yet we're not seeing behind-the-scenes stuff of Supergirl. We're not seeing behind-the-scenes stuff of other players. It seems like their real focus is, hey, everybody, it's the Supergirl show with Superman. Mm. And I think they're unfairly trying to build that up as the draw for people to come into season two of this show, as opposed to, hey, Supergirl was a strong character. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And hey, we're going to see more of that next year. And also Clark Kent and Superman are going to be in the show as well.
Well, he's no Dean Cain. I'll say that.
No, he's not. But you know, if you have seen, and I don't know if you guys have seen, what is the, Linkletter movie just came out on video not too long ago about the baseball team.
Not Dazed and Confused, but the new one like that,
everybody wants some. Yeah, he's in that movie. He plays one of the older baseball players on the team. He's got a mustache. When he's in that movie and you look at him walking around, and the acting abilities are great, but he looks like a good Superman build. And of course, here he shaved off his mustache, but he looks good. And I think he'll do just fine as Superman in the Supergirl series.
Putting a picture of him from Everybody Wants Some into the chat room. This is actually right before his swim meet.
Yeah. By the way, real small note, the photo that you sent of them together, both of their heads are too big.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is.
Photoshoppy goof. That's
what the CW sent out. So I don't know. It's really weird. And the 5 o'clock shadow that Hoechlin's sporting in that image, also I don't think does him,
right.
does him
it
justice.
It was before he looked in the mirror and shaved with his laser vision. His heat vision, yeah.
That's so great.
Not only that, he's got... He's just something wrong. I don't know what this is.
It's that photo, because every other photo that you have seen, it looks good. He looks good as Superman. Yeah. Now, you're right. The boots are going to look a little weird.
I feel like asking, how many points of articulation do these action figures have?
Well, from these photos, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5.
And
does
also,
the butt have its own point of articulation?
Was J.J. Abrams in the building when this guy decided to do lens flares? That's just bad. Well, anyway, whatever. Yeah. Who am I to judge?
Real quick, speaking of Superman, over this last weekend, copy of Action Comics number 1 sold for almost $1 million over at Heritage Auctions.
Oh,
and
Lord.
It's a relatively low grade. It's a 5.5 CGC graded comic. It had some yellow pages, but it sold for $960 some thousand dollars. It was originally bought in 1990, or the last time it was sold was in 1990 for $26,000. So the guy who sold it kind of made a little bank on
this. This isn't Nicolas Cage again, right?
No. Okay. This is somebody else. They haven't released that person's name.
Yeah. Well, they better not, I suppose. The guy's got a lot of money now.
Yeah.
So J.K. Grammer just posted more photos of Tyler Hoechlin in his Superman costume. Yeah, mm-hmm. These are closer up. And it almost looks like he's got it inside out, and you can see like the hemlines.
Oh, weird!
And if you look on some of them, the part where the cape attaches to his shoulders, mm-hmm. it's actually like the cape goes underneath those parts. So you'll see some parts of him walking around without a cape, and you'll just see those red hooks on the front of his. On the front of his costume.
Yeah.
But yeah, look at the ones you're showing now. He looks good in those costumes that
you're
seeing
now. Looks better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks great. I think he might be a little short, but who isn't? You know, like Hollywood, mm-hmm. you're short. That's how you make it in Hollywood. Does he really need water? Superman doesn't need water. Anyway. Yeah, he looks fine. He'll be fine.
He's got a big old booty, though.
I'm not sure I like how his cape attaches.
Well, you know, it makes it easier so he can just rip it off and throw it at the bad guys and
right. Right.
Oh, sorry. That's another spoiler. Sorry.
That's the S. He's supposed to do that with his S.
He does have a big booty. He's like the Beyonce of... Kim Kardashian of...
Super Nicki Minaj. Yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Cal Minaj.
This has been enlightening. I had no idea we'd get so much Superman butt in one episode of the morning stream. Steven, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Is there anything happening post Comic-Con that you'd like people to be paying attention to over there?
I would just say head over to majorspoilers.com. We've got a lot of stuff going up on the site. If you want to know a little bit more about this connection between the Dirty Dozen and Suicide Squad, I've got a very long article that I wrote on Friday called The Dirty Suicide Squad that maybe makes some comparisons about why some critics really hated The Dirty Dozen when it came out in 67 and why a lot of the reaction, almost word for word in the reviews, is what people are saying about the Suicide Squad. So go check that out over at majorspoilers.com.
Look at Steven putting his flag in the sand and saying, hey, this movie's not so bad. You guys should go see it.
I didn't say it's not so bad. I just said it's fine.
Ringing endorsement from Steven Schleicher, everybody. It's Major Spoilers on Twitter, majorspoilers.com. Steven, always our pleasure to have you here. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
We'll see you.
He said we're bye, guys. He thinks we're bisexual.
Bye, guys.
We're not really.
So accusatory, these people
every time,
have us.
Every time.
Just because we have a good rapport and we get along, and when we're in the same city, we may dabble, but whatever.
We experiment.
Exactly.
All right, we are going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. A word of advice from me, Scott Johnson, on the future of your small business and the internet. Because you need good website. I have good website. Well, I have a good place for you to host it. That I know for sure. That's hostpapa.com. You ever had, you know, stuff crash, all kinds of problems, expensive support plans, all that stuff? No more with hostpapa.com. And I love them. Hostpapa's complete turnkey solutions make it easy for small businesses like yours. Or maybe you're a freelancer or whatever. Whatever you are. And they have everything you need for your business, including lightning-fast servers, professional email, automated website backups, cutting-edge security, hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools. There is no limit to how rad your site can be. One-click WordPress installer, drag-and-drop tools, amazing support 24/7, 365. That's available via chat, phone, or email. All the ways you want to get it. If you need extra help, they'll give you a free, dedicated 30-minute one-on-one training session. Shared hosting accounts start as low as $3.95. a month. They'll even throw in a free domain. And you get a 30-day trial, so what's the problem? Go for it. Head on over to hostpapa.com/morning. See what our friends have to offer you, and use the code MORNING at checkout for 15% off new shared hosted accounts. That's hostpapa.com/morning, and the code MORNING. All right, we're back. We have some time for some emails, and I have a handful here to share with you, Brian. Time to catch up on emails. Tim wrote in, says, howdy. My daughter and I just rewatched Zootopia, and your accounting of how disappointing this year's movies have been, I haven't heard you mention it. Zootopia was a huge surprise. It easily is better than Finding Dory, and at least is, in this family, meets the Fury Road bar of excellence. Thanks for everything, Tim.
Ooh.
I'm going to say I don't think it's better than Finding Dory. I think it's good, though.
We enjoyed it.
It's not a competition for me. Like, there are good movies this year, and I forgot to mention Zootopia. I had a really good time with it. But it's not the kind of thing where I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, I've seen the future of animation, and it's here. It's not like that. But I liked it.
Zootopia was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it's the formula. There's definitely a formula to those type of movies, but...
Yeah.
I think it was very entertaining. Yeah,
it's splitting hairs to say it's better than Dory just because, whatever, it's subjective. But let's talk about the Fury Road reference for a second. Just for a moment.
Yeah, okay.
There's no way any movie that has come out this year, period, is as good as Fury Road. I defy anyone to give me hard facts that prove otherwise.
It's a subjective thing. You can't give hard facts of why somebody likes a movie better than somebody else.
You're totally right, but I still challenge people to try to come up with a way to do it.
Science has shown that Civil War...
And I love Civil War, don't get me wrong. And that was this year, right?
That was this year.
Feels like last year was so long ago.
I know.
Hi, guys, says Robert from sunny San Diego. He says, we saw Suicide Squad this past Sunday at an advanced screening on Miramar Marine Corps Air Base. My son Nick and I really like the movie. It's not life-changing cinema, but it's all good. It laces humor with drama better than DC movies have in the past. Bye, guys. Robert. All right, another person saying just go freaking see it. Look, I remember how this went with Warcraft. I'm not poo-pooing this movie. I haven't seen it, so I can't poo-poo it. All I can say is sure causes a lot of ruckus on the internet when reviewers go south on something.
Mm-hmm.
People just can't keep it together.
I'm gonna boycott Rotten Tomatoes because people didn't like a movie I liked.
Yeah, you like what you like and don't like what you don't like. It's fine.
And if you find that you disagree with Rotten Tomatoes often, don't look at Rotten Tomatoes.
Just a reminder, if you liked a movie, you're right. If you hated it, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
As good as that. Unless we're talking about Fury Road, and then we'll have some words.
That's right. The Fury Road correlation to rule number three.
Yeah, it's the one, it's the exception. It's like the amendment to that particular part of the Constitution. Hi, guys, says Amy Woodcock.
Hi, Amy.
It's a great name. On episode 999, that's 999. And as we know, if you flip that over, it's 666.
If you listen to that episode backwards,
end times. Anyway, so what was my, where was I before I screwed that up?
You read the first three words of her letter.
Oh, that's right.
End times.
All right, great. He said, you read a letter from my now fiance, Michael Sagaya. How would you say that?
Sagaya.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to say it. It's cool, though. It's like a space name. I like
Sagaya.
Just wanted to let you know that the wedding planning has begun, and we are set to be married June 19th of next year. Thank you for helping me make my proposal as memorable and as unique as it was. We can't wait to play it for everyone at the rehearsal dinner. Sincerely, Amy. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Congratulations.
Was that in a request?
Yeah, it would have been a music thing, I think.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Yeah. I tried scrolling back to see. Our show notes don't go back that far because Google
they don't like having millions of tabs.
Understandable. Yeah.
It gets a little overwhelmed.
But, good for you two crazy kids.
You guys are great.
We're so happy for you.
Episode 999. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a good one to be on. Let's get to it for emails. If you guys want to share your own thoughts with us via email, you can, themorningstream@gmail.com, or leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Big thanks to the folks at alphageekradio.com who stream the audio from this show daily. They also do a video simulcast, and we do it over there at diamondclub.tv. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Find us on Twitter at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville, and on Reddit. We have a subreddit, frogpants.reddit.com. I need to be in there more. I apologize, I haven't been. But I will be. And by the way, we have a cool CSS loaded on our subreddit that makes it actually usable and not stupid. So that's another thing I like about it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Unlike the rest of Reddit, which looks like a chicken in 1994 took a dump and then smeared it on the wall and said, here's your design.
Oh, totally does. Yeah. Really clean, clear interface. I like this a lot.
Nice little buttons. It's got some web 5.0 in there. I say that hating the term 2.0. Anyway, let's get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. Normal show, normal stuff. Jerry will finally be done with his whirlwind tour of the world or whatever he's been doing.
No kidding.
Yep, so we'll have him on
Gen
the show.
Con and, I want to hear a good Gen Con contender wrap-up.
He hung out with Dan the Tabletop Man a bit.
Oh, I'm excited to hear from both of them about it.
They also experimented.
A little dabbling, a little bit, Gen Con
just
dabbling.
A little bit. Listen, he's hairy and attractive.
His meeple and his...
Yeah.
Chits.
All that hair on Jury, it's hard to deny. There's a real pull there, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear he's the equivalent of five Baldwins.
Whoa, that's a lot.
It's a lot of hair.
A lot of body hair.
Yeah.
All right, so come back for that. That's tomorrow, live here on The Thing. For those that listen at home and want to try us live, it certainly can, 9 a.m. Mountain Time every day. If you don't want to do that at frogpants.com/live, you can just keep getting the show the way you get it, and thank you for listening. Support us at patreon.com/TMS as well. Brian, let's leave with music, please.
Okay, this one's going out to Marin, who says, "Hey, guys. My ridiculously lovely boss, asterisk, resigned last week, so I went from having one manager in the morning to having a completely different one in the afternoon. While I'm dealing with crazy work stuff with handovers and figuring out my new boss, who is thankfully awesome with a wicked sense of humor, I put my headphones on and get work done between meetings." Double asterisk. Mm. "In comes my EDM binge time, since this kind of music helps me to focus on one thing at a time rather than being scatterbrained and distracted by the bajillion emails I was suddenly receiving. I found this awesome artist called Eden via the Reddit/EDM of all places, trawled through his SoundCloud page and found this cool cover of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Love the show, and you guys help me deal with my workplace upheaval in a calm, even-headed way. Seriously, thank Wendy for me. I'm pretty sure I would have been a mess last week if not for her advice for former emailers in stressful situations." Mm. "Life in slow-mo," signed, Marin.
Nice.
And then the asterisk things were, the lovely boss poached Marin from their previous job last year, rescuing them from an atrocious manager, let's say, of loyalty to the guy. And the double asterisk for getting work done between meetings, too many.
What's a poached egg? How do you poach an egg? Just curious.
You boil water,
yeah,
and then you spin the water around, slowly spin the water around, so you've got kind of a pocket in the middle, and then you drop the egg into that pocket so that it cooks, it keeps the yolk runny, but then it cooks the outside of the egg really well.
But you're cracking the egg and dumping it in there, right?
You're cracking the egg, dumping it in there.
Okay.
And you don't use any oil, you don't use any grease, and it's a very clean way to do an egg.
So when somebody poaches, but there's also the other definition
poaching. Right, poaching, like stealing cattle and stuff like that. And that was this case. It was
all right. I always thought the two were tied together, but now I realize I'm an idiot. All right.
No, you poach cattle by dropping them into a pot of boiling water, and
I've never had better beef. Anyway, sorry.
All right, Billie Jean, covered here by the band Eden. You'll find this on the 2015 single of the same name, Billie Jean. You can find it on SoundCloud. It is a free download, so, you know, go free download it. Here's Eden and Billie Jean.
End times. She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, "Oh my, but what do you mean? I am the one." She said, "I am the one." She told me her name was Billie Jean, as she calls the scene, and every head turned with eyes that dreamed of being the one. Going dance on the floor in her arms.
I don't even know I can tell you.
And the people always told me, be careful what you do, and don't you go around breaking young girls' hearts. My mother always told me, be careful who you love, and be careful what you do, because a lie becomes a truth, hey. And Billie Jean is not my lover, she's just a girl who thinks that I am one. But he's not my son. But he's not my son.
Days and for 40 nights, I was on her side, but who can me. Be careful what you do. And don't you go around breaking young girls' hearts. But she came and stood right by me, and she smelled a sweet perfume. And this happened much too soon. And she brought me to her room, hey. And Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who thinks that I am worthy. Billie Jean's not my son.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Lettuce and tomatoes are very delicate.